It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Every single woman who meets him instantly wants to sleep with him, or they're flirting with him.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soce. This show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes, and we have a blog which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com, where we post the things that have been established by this show. Statements that,
among other things,
yeah, like we established that Pam Grier is timeless
and Christoph Waltz is amazing.
Yep.
So
far those two things have been the only things that
that's
have been.
That's definite.
We don't post our business franchise ideas, like build your own Guy Fieri shirt.
Yeah, actually, we came up with that earlier today. If you take a kind of a bowling shirt that I'm wearing now, and like boys or Girl Scout patches that need to be sewn on, you would have Guy Fieri type accessories like flames, skulls,
dice,
playing cards,
poker chips,
yep,
dragons. Asian looking calligraphy stuff.
Stuff. He did not say stuff earlier. So you could build your own.
Basically awesome stuff.
Awesome stuff, exactly. So, you know what they are? They're brotastic. And
they're the mayor of Shirtville.
We all are. That's that voice you just heard. That's Kobe Slagle.
Yep.
My business entrepreneur partner. We'll also sell these out of the trunks of our car and parking lots. Hey, you want a nice shirt, kid? You want a shirt that's brotastic? Here you go.
Bro.
Yeah, I don't have enough rings on. And the other voice you just heard, who you heard in the intro, he was actually talking about Channing Tatum, but not me. But
it would apply to you also.
You're so kind. That's Joe Shearer of the Film Yap.
Hello.
And Joe has taken one for the team, and he's brought a sidekick with him, and he's...
Hi.
He might give his review for Oz. We'll find out a little later on. That's cliffhanging radio. Yeah. You know what else it is, Kobe? It's pop boiler.
Pot boiling
radio. That's us. So it's also sword buckling radio, apparently.
And that is, by the way, as you said, the king of Temple Run, Mason Shear.
Hey, Mason. He's busy.
He's in the zone, Joe.
Continuing to conquer Temple
that's,
Run.
That's okay. We might hear from Mason a little later on. Now, Joe did something that we all love here at Film Sociology is you...
Seeing movies.
Seeing movies. Well, yes, yeah. There is that. Or the 10 minutes of sports and or food talk before the show,
yeah.
Which we won't do. Aww. But we got a whole hour. Don't worry about it. But
there's still time.
There's still plenty of time. And we
who
have
knows
previews.
What we'll do.
We have previews of upcoming interviews. Also, a little later on in the show, you can hear my chat. Yes, because Film Sociology and WFYI HD2 is your source for supermodel interviews. My chat with supermodel, actress, and my mother, Molly Sims. That will go on a little bit, and the getting of this interview is just as fascinating as the chat itself, and that's okay. But Joe and Mason went to a movie the morning, or in this case, the afternoon that it opened. Mm-hmm. So, and you don't seem winded, so it was not a 2 o'clock screening. We've seen Gina and Gina and Dan have done that. They were a little late because they had to go to their favorite now.
Yeah.
So what time did you go this morning? This afternoon?
It was actually 12:30.
Okay, so you got time.
You had
time to breathe. So
it was comfortable.
So you got to see the new Oz prequel called, what's it called?
Oz the Great and Powerful.
Yes.
And it's not the prison movie.
No, definitely not.
Not James Franco in prison. Yeah, you wouldn't take him if it was James Franco in prison. But we have a...
I'd watch that, though.
You would, really? Yeah. James Franco in prison?
Sure.
He's, you know, the man's willing to try to do anything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anything is performance art for him. All right, so the latest blockbuster from Disney, which looks like a summer blockbuster, released in March.
Yeah, I was really surprised that, like, when we started seeing previews for this last year, that
it
was coming out.
It's summer.
In. Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's not. So here's some audio.
Wondrous sights imaginable. Kansas is full of good men. I don't want to be a good man. I want to be a great one.
You're gonna need this!
I'm surprised you didn't talk over it. Okay, so we have.
There was gonna be more.
We have.
Oh,
we
wait
have,
a minute. Did we get the little thing? Oh, yeah.
It's a green hand and it's not Idina Menzel.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have James Franco, Mila Kunis, Rachel Weisz, and
Michelle Williams. Yep.
Nice witch trio right there.
Isn't it though? Yeah, Zach Braff.
Is he on your list, Kobe? Is Zach Braff on your list?
Yes, he is.
He is.
I don't like Garden State, I don't like
Scrubs.
Mm-mm.
No? Or nope. Anything he's directed?
Nope.
Nope. So.
Nope.
Garden State. Actually, I thought one of the better Loser Comes Home stories, but apparently, you know,
yeah,
and he gets manic pixie dream girl Natalie Portman.
Yeah. I don't care about the loser.
You don't care
home.
About the loser coming home?
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
Just going to look back on losers. All right.
Sorry.
It's okay. Who else is involved in this thing? We got
Tony Jay. I think Tony. Is it Tony
Oh,
Jay?
Yes. The one of David Mamet's players.
Yeah, from maybe not Tony J. From Bad Santa, Tony somebody.
That's
does
great.
Tony J. Hang out with Chris R.
I've done my homework.
Yeah, he does. So all right, so it's a prequel to Oz. It's Disney. Mm-hmm. It's huge. It's got bells and violins in the trailer.
Yeah.
Joe Shearer, does this even come remotely close to the 1939 Wizard of Oz?
Well, definitely not.
What could really?
It would really be something to take it to that level.
And directed by Sam Raimi. This looks like it's his biggest film after doing three Spider-Man films.
Yeah.
One too many.
Yeah. Definitely one too many. But he falls back a little too much on some of his kind of tropes.
Bruce Campbell?
Yeah, Bruce Campbell is in the film.
No.
Yeah.
He with his boomstick.
Yes. No, he does not play Ash.
Would that have helped?
It's more Spider-Man Bruce Campbell than Evil Dead Bruce Campbell.
Ah, okay.
But it's just kind of blah. There's just nothing that's really great about it.
Only thing that makes this one stand out at all is that the characters are a little more annoying than they usually are in these kind of movies.
Now, I, Thanks, Ed.
Okay.
Now, I heard David Edelstein talked about the Fresh Air, talked about the opening, it being in black and white and in TV format. And and apparently he's like the Terry Gilliam's Brothers Grimm. He is the James Franco character is a grifter who winds up in a basket and a balloon.
He's the charlatan shyster kind of, you know, magician guy. Plays himself off as a wizard and all that, you know, a sideshow kind of guy, and ends up through various chicanery in the balloon in a tornado.
We all have various chicanery.
Don't you hate when that happens? That's a Saturday night right there.
I think so. That's a Saturday. I think that's on after the cool down on HD2. Welcome to various chicanery.
And it, you know, it's from there, it's all, you know, it's all Oz. Of course, we get some Munchkin action. We get some, not that
not
kind.
Munchkin on
not,
Munchkin
not
action.
That, no, okay, because that's a different movie,
right?
Although that one's probably coming pretty soon, I would say to home video or internet.
No,
movie.
don't. I would imagine. We don't report that around here.
It's dumb.
Sorry, that is dumb.
You know, there are new characters. Of course, there are the trio of witches, and it's. It's a little bit. I don't want to get too spoilery. I said that
out
there.
Of course,
but there's some question as to which witch is which, so to speak.
See what he did there? It's just three ways of saying that.
And there's three witches. Of course, once Michelle Williams shows up.
Listen to us dismantle jokes on air. It's Fridays at 5
on various chicanery.
If you have to explain them, they're not funny.
That's okay. it's ironically funny because we are breaking it down.
There you go.
Okay, sorry.
But once Michelle Williams shows up, there's not much doubt who is who.
Uh-huh.
And that's when things kind of, you know, begin to escalate. And
I love it when a movie grabs me frequently. And
he's just playing over there.
Yeah, he's... let the man finish.
Well, you said when she comes in, it picks up, and then I love it when a movie grabs me.
That's you're quoting Chris Lloyd. Okay, so
anyway, the effects are hit or miss, and there's a
really?
Lot of them. Yeah, and the actual Wicked Witch is pretty bad makeup. Like, I mean, it's bad kind of makeup.
Bad, like For the Boys, bad.
Yeah, it's like
J. Edgar bad.
I was just saying a minute ago during the trailer that I was trying to think of who to compare it to. I would imagine like. If Fiona from Shrek got gastric bypass surgery and lost a lot of weight really quickly, that's what she would look like.
Great witch jowls.
Yeah, it's really weird, and it's just not right. It's just not quite right. And if you're gonna do something as you know sacrosanct as The Wizard of Oz, you better flame out spectacularly, or you better really get it right. And it's just blah and not as either great or incredibly bad as it almost has to be.
I think we just got our mediocre review right there.
I think we did. We finally have something now.
So, it's achingly mediocre. Yeah.
There's two. All right. You've just once again you have helped out with this show at the expense of a major expensive movie that apparently Disney's going to take a bath on.
Yeah.
We will see cuz it's really not up against anything else this weekend.
Yeah, there's nothing really huge.
So, out. Well, there is that. Yeah. We'll see. But now, I'm sorry, we're having some technical chicanery happening here in the studio.
It's only one, so it's not quite very.
That's okay. So while you got to see Oz, and we appreciate that, mm-hmm. I got to see the documentary West of Memphis. Mm-hmm. Now, do you have... that no you don't
oh, no I don't.
This is a documentary that was already covered not once, not twice, three times by the documentary series Paradise Lost, but this one is produced by Peter Jack. Two of the producers are Peter Jackson and Damien Eccles, who is one of the West Memphis Three. Okay. So this is a story of three teenage boys who are arrested for brutal murders in West Memphis, Arkansas. And at the time of the court, a lot of folks thought that they were railroaded because they had long hair and they were all black and they listened to Metallica and other metal music. And some of them dipped into reading subjects of the macabre, as Bill Hader's Vincent Price would say. And so it spawned not one, not two, but three documentaries about this court case. But Peter Jackson has decided to do his own spin on it, and in much shorter time. So anyway, here's some audio.
Nothing ever happens in West Memphis, Arkansas.
We've had three children missing since last night.
Three young boys murdered in cold blood.
It appeared that they had been sexually mutilated.
Is it your opinion that these crimes were motivated by occult beliefs?
Yes.
Arrested at 2:44 p.m., charged with three counts of capital murder.
It was like a nuclear bomb going off in the courtroom.
Life imprisonment without parole. Death by lethal injection.
And the terror of mortal men looked favorably on my sacrifice.
I done nothing wrong.
Case with a confession would be easier as opposed to one without direct evidence.
I read the confession on the front page just like everybody else did.
Jesse's borderline mentally retarded.
The statement was put in his mouth by the police.
They beat up all three of them.
And then they took their clothes off. Then they tied them.
Then they tied them up.
This case is nothing out of the ordinary. You're dealing with three kids, bottom of the barrel, poor white trash.
Here's the state of Arkansas refusing to let the truth shine on this case.
My role when I was brought in was primarily to analyze the case, to see, does it really fit the three people they have in prison?
They are seeking merely the opportunity to have the fair trial they have never had.
And the reason I'm hesitating, I'm trying to think if that's a question that I should be answering.
I said, just between me and you, did you do it? He said, yes, and he went into detail. Jason told me how he dismembered the kid.
Did Damien invite you to some meeting?
A cult, satanic meeting. I was just a big liar, and I really was.
I was doing a lot of LSD. I remember not knowing why I was doing what I was doing.
This case is outrageous.
Feeling funny in my mind.
You're dealing with a horrendous crime. There's savage injuries. It affects people, and it warps their judgment.
There's careers at stake. There's promotions at stake. There's agendas.
DNA testing has been done. There is powerful evidence that points towards another suspect.
The focus is always on the families. So that you start from there, and you work your way out.
He didn't voluntarily give us this DNA. We waited in the living room while he was in the bathroom, and that's when I took the cigarette butts out of the ashtray.
It's not just new scientific evidence, it's new evidence.
I'd give my life to know the fucking truth.
Miss Kelly's confession wasn't supposed to be injected into the second trial at all, but it was.
Is nothing more poisonous than having a confession in a jury room?
If that allegation is borne out, they have to throw this case out.
Burnett was wrong, yet the decisions that he made.
Well, I had to fool with it for 18 years.
No one wants to admit that they made a mistake.
We don't believe the people of Arkansas are going to be satisfied until there is a new trial.
The option to reopen the case was presented to him, and he went, no, we found them guilty, we're done.
We got 17 years invested in sticking to this story, and that makes it even harder.
This is going to be a happy ending. It's just got to be a happy ending to this.
There are a lot of people in prison because of this.
Not only is the state getting away with it, but the person who killed those three kids is still out there walking on the street.
I remember going back, and it's interesting because I'm trying not to compare the Paradise Lost series to West of Memphis, although I did watch the first two Paradise Lost documentaries before the press screening of West of Memphis a couple of weeks ago. And the filmmakers, of course, that did that would later do the Metallica documentary, Some Kind of Monster, which you don't even have to be a fan of Metallica to appreciate just watching a band completely fall apart. But in this... what Peter Jackson does, and the film is about 2.5 hours long, so you're going up against about 5 hours of the first, who have not seen Paradise Lost 3, which I believe is still another 2.5. So you get to spend more time, obviously, with the folks. In the Paradise Lost series especially, there's one dad that the filmmakers allude to might have actually done the killings, and he was the father of one of the victims. That is, yeah, don't want to get too spoilery either. That is kind of squashed in Peter Jackson's version, and that was a big revelation for me as an audience member. It's not surprising. I guess it's sad to say it's not surprising that three teenage boys from the wrong side of the tracks were railroaded in a small town like West Memphis, Arkansas. And that's of the first third. And the first Paradise Lost are about. Now, the second one was the campaign to get a retrial. And that's where in this film, people like, yes, who knew you would have a film with Eddie Vedder and Henry Rollins appearing, not together, but appearing in the same film to be a part of this. And Rollins makes a great point about why he became involved in this. And Metallica did for the other film. They provided music for those documentaries that were on HBO. But Rollins made the point of saying, let's see, long-haired, liked to read dark stuff, listened to loud music, and was a smart aleck against authority. And watching, especially the young, when these teenage boys, especially Damien Echols, who kind of goes off a little bit enjoying the fact that he's going to be the boogeyman of West Memphis, doesn't fare that well. But then again, that's a teenage knucklehead choice that was made, yeah. And we all have those. His just happened to be involving a murder trial and a film crew. So going through the process of the railroading, trying to get a fair trial, and then the end. And there is a conclusion that is not fun for anybody, although it does fare the best for the West Memphis 3, I will say that. So if you know nothing about this case, definitely check it out. Even if you've seen the Paradise Lost documentary series, it's shorter, it's more condensed, and it really packs a wallop as far as an angle on who might have done it. And that this is still a case that is unsolved almost 20 years later. So very powerful stuff. Hope you go check it out. Do we have a response? I know I'm making you work over there.
Yes. I've got movie news.
Yes. Now Kobe Slagle, who is taking over the IU cinema duties here, because he is Mr. IU here at Film Sociology. Kobe, what other movie news do you have for us
tonight in Bloomington?
If you don't,
go ahead. I'll let you do it.
Oh, you're going to let me do my bit. Thank
you. I'm going to let you do your bit.
if you don't have any plans tonight, and it's okay if you don't. It's all
okay
right.
If you don't, sorry.
So what could they do?
7 o'clock tonight, Amour.
From Best Foreign Film winner at this year's Academy Awards. Of course, up for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actress. Mm-hmm. So, that's good. Mm-hmm. Date film. No, it's not.
No,
not so go to Mother Bears and get a pizza bread.
Man, that sounds so good.
That does sound good.
Find an apartment party or something.
That's right, because you do not, as we've said a few weeks ago with Tracy Mitchell, and of course we gave Mr. Slagle engaged advice, as you, Joe, are an old married couple, as am mm-hmm. I, not together with our wives, our own wives. If you're going to go see a film like Amour, don't end the night that way.
Yeah.
Watch something to cleanse your
palate. Yes,
go
exactly.
Something, anything. Mm. Well, not anything, but, okay. You know, watch something wacky before you go to sleep, because you do not want to see that and then just fall into bed. That's just a long, hard sleep.
Yeah.
So what else is going on at IU?
Saturday, tomorrow, 11 o'clock. In the morning, Willow from 1988.
Really? Oh,
nice. Yep.
Warwick Davis.
Yeah.
And Val Kilmer when he was thin. Yeah.
3 o'clock.
And Joanne Whalley.
Saturday afternoon, The Thief Pre-Kilmer. Of Baghdad.
Yeah. Thief of Baghdad?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
7 o'clock again tomorrow night, Amour. Sunday, 3 o'clock, Amour. 6:30, Just Do It, A Tale of Modern Day Outlaws.
On a steel horse they ride? Not those.
Yeah,
we hope not. Not nope. Jersey Cowboys.
No, not Jersey Cowboys. No, God, not no. but also tonight at the IMA, the Asian Art Society film series continues with In the Mood for Love.
Oh, very good. One of Tarantino's favorites, and it's a Criterion disc. Well, And if you don't have plans and you don't feel like going to Bloomington, you can also check out the trip to Bountiful at Scottish Rite Cathedral tonight at 7:30 and tomorrow at 3 and 7:30 p.m. at Scottish Rite Cathedral. 262-3100 for ticket information. Tickets are only $10, and there's plenty of seats. Parking might be a little interesting. They're cleaning the outside of the building. And there are two weddings going on at Scottish Rite tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
So get there early, or there's lots of street parking around there. There should be plenty of that.
It's the weekend, you know.
Exactly. So
Mother Bear sounds really good.
It does sound really good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Man. Okay, here comes the 10 minutes talking about Bloomington food, Irish Lion. All right, we're going to take a short break, and then we will talk about what is on DVD and Blu-ray. We might go into the archives, and
maybe.
We have more Twilight news.
More
but no,
Twilight
but,
news?
But no response from the Twilight correspondent. I know it sounds like Fox News. It really isn't. We'll get a response from her eventually. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video. Wow, what a difference.
That's just funny. I was saying earlier, welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Soci. I should say, listening to the Clerks portion of the video intro and of course, Wesley Willis. Now, that would have been a movie. If Kevin Smith had directed a Wesley Willis concert film, that would have been cool. But on sometime in the next few weeks, you can hear my exclusive. It's exclusive now because I'm the only person who's talked to him so far. But Jason Mewes is going to be on Film Sociology. Kevin Smith is showing his latest project. It's an animated feature, and it's coming to Clues. Apparently, he had so much fun last time he was in town promoting Red State that he's going to do it again. And I got to talk to Jason Mewes this week. We will be hearing my chat with Molly Sims. That will make Kobe's eyes roll. And
Hi, Molly.
You don't know if I... All right, I did.
Of course you did.
By the way, she started the conversation, as did Padma. So, you know, ladies first.
God.
You love it. We are your home for supermodel chat. Why wouldn't they want to talk to me? So, anyway, I got to go on Twitter and tell Jason Mewes about the DVD intro because he's a part of it. Anyway, okay. Going on to Blu-ray and DVDs, the big title this week is one of the biggest upsets, I think, at the Academy Awards this year.
Yeah.
The big title, Wreck-It Ralph, which I think
everybody, I know you talked, I talked,
mm-hmm. Kobe, a few others. I don't know anybody who didn't vote for Wreck-It Ralph to win Best Animated Feature, but it lost to Mulan Meets Brother Bear, also known as Brave. Which really surprised me. That being said, this is just a reminder, just like Best Picture, just like Ordinary People over Raging Bull, just like Dances with Wolves over Goodfellas, just like Crash over Brokeback Mountain, just because something wins the statue does not necessarily mean it is the superior picture, because we all know Wreck-It Ralph is the superior animated feature of last year. So, and for me, one of the biggest surprises of last year, you know, you have the voice of John C. Reilly as he's not Donkey Kong. He could be Donkey Kong, but he's Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
He wrecks things. And then there's a guy who's not Mario, because he doesn't have a mustache, and he fixes
That's why
things.
He's not Mario.
That's why he's not Mario. Or Luigi, either. And he's also not Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo, the fine Italian actors they are.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's what happens when the bad guy wants to be a good guy. And as Emma, the current tween correspondent on film sociology. Have we established that? Is that official yet?
What would classify something as a tween?
Give
an example
not
of a
13.
Well, no, I know. Yeah. I know what tween means, but give an example
Are
of
you
a
sure?
tween movie.
Anything by Nicholas Sparks.
That's a tween movie?
I don't know. You're asking me? I'm trying to figure out what my child likes these days.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, I remember Nancy Drew came out a few years ago. That's
That seems like that, or
Diary of a Wimpy Kid?
Diary of a Wimpy Kid, that would be more boy skewed maybe, but
that's still boys can be tweens.
Anything that says Ramona at the beginning of it,
anything with any non R rated stuff with Selena Gomez, I think that qualifies, like Monte Carlo, and Emma likes Katy Perry.
Mm-hmm.
Dad does too for different reasons.
Yeah,
and
Hannah
you,
Montana.
Hannah. Well, she's kind of past,
she
saw Miley do the last song.
Oh, okay.
So, which was out of the Disney ring, and you like Katy Perry because she said no to Russell Brand.
Yes, that is the fact that happened.
Now, does that? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going off on a tangent here.
Okay.
There are certain couples in the history of celebrity relationships that gives Kobe a splitting headache, and I'm wondering. What order? Where is the order of? Here we go. Ready for this?
Yes.
I love these. You have Katy Perry and Russell Brand. Uh-huh. Now, they never got married, right? They were
married.
They were married.
Oh, they were married. Okay, sorry.
In India.
Pardon me, I don't follow celebrity marriages. So you have Katy and Russell. Mm-hmm. You have Elvis Costello and Diana Krall. Mm-hmm. And you have Padma Lakshmi and Salman Rushdie. What's the gold, silver, and bronze on that?
I have no. That is difficult.
And now that you're thinking about it,
I'm going to say Katy and Russell take the gold because
really?
I just cannot stomach him.
Yeah. But okay, so it's more you can't stand him as opposed to liking her.
Yeah.
because I know you like Diana Krall and I know you like Padma.
Yeah. I like
by the way, I'm sorry, former film sociology guest Padma Lakshmi.
Oh yeah. Regular film sociology contributor.
I wish.
We'll see. I like them all. I like Katy Perry. I like Padma. I like Diana.
Okay.
But
you're saying gold? Yeah. Russell.
That is just awful.
Awful.
Second place has to go to Diana and Elvis because she is so far beyond him musically.
And we're not going to count the De Laurentiis family.
And no, that's just undeserving definition.
We should just have a show about this sometime. I mean, you can go
I think this is a subject of various chicanery.
you have Rick Ocasek and Paulina Poroskova back in the day. You have Lyle Lovett and Julia Roberts.
Yeah, but that didn't last very long.
Yeah,
or you know, Springsteen
Billy
and Juliet
Bob
Phillips.
Thornton. Yeah, Billy
oh,
Bob,
Billy
and
Bob
Angelina.
Thornton and Angelina Jolie. That's weird. Anyway, so those. But those are just three I know of that might be in a future segment of what makes Kobe ill.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, anyway. How did we get off on this?
Did you get, oh, we were talking about tween movies and...
Oh, tween, yeah, my daughter's new title.
Yes.
We were talking about Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how...
Before that, do you get Paper Man with Wreck-It Ralph?
You do.
You do?
You should.
Yeah,
yes.
You do.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, you do.
Yep.
Which was a
fantastic.
Yeah. Yes. That one, right?
So glad that one.
That one.
Yeah, I think it did.
Yeah. So they're half right in the animated department. So anyway, a lot of fun. Obviously, a very smart script. The people who wrote Wreck-It Ralph obviously know their video games and their video game styles.
Yep.
So that was fun. And you have
it's also an art film.
It is not an art film, but it is very artistic and fun vocals by John C.
Yes, yes.
John C. Reilly. It's so fun that my daughter knows Sarah Silverman for everything other than her stand up work.
Nice.
She, you know, between Wreck-It Ralph and School of Rock.
Yes.
So
there's actually a great DVD feature. When you pause the Blu-ray, it counts down like from 5, and then it goes to this thing with Chris Hardwick. Sorry, Chris Hardwick. I'm sure you didn't hear that. Who most people may know either from. The Talking Dead on AMC, if you watch The Walking Dead, if you're a fan of that.
Right.
Or Singled Out, MTV Singled Out from back in the
day. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And he does basically an Easter egg hunt through the whole... I mean, and it's... And I paused
of DVD Easter eggs.
Well, no. It's a video... It's video game Easter eggs in this case through the movie. So he'll... You pause it, it'll go to him, and he'll go, oh, hey, look, on this scene, there's like... You know, he'll point out Hubert, and then he'll go back and he'll be like, oh, look, here's Dig Dug stuck in here.
Dig Dug.
Yeah. And, you know, there's all these just random odd references to things, and it's really, really neat.
Okay, so there's plenty there. It'll probably, take you several days to get through?
Oh, I would think.
Everything? All right, that's cool. That's cool. So anyway, go check that out. Another reason why Joe Scherer is just one of the good ones, because he takes one for the team every now and then, and much to his credit, you caught up on some films that you missed the first time in theaters,
yes,
and then you checked. So we'll start with the good one. You saw the French film The Untouchables,
yes,
which we got a screener of. Thank you.
Yes.
And this is the biggest money-making film in France's history. Mm-hmm. And it's a story of a gentleman who is in a wheelchair, yeah, very well-to-do, and he needs a new caregiver to take care of him,
yeah,
and he gets the least likely candidate, a gentleman of African descent, not African-American. This is France.
Yes.
And but he's from the wrong side of the tracks, but he's trying to get his life in order, and at first it seems like it's a sweet, cushy job, and then he realizes he actually has to take care of this guy.
I remember seeing it. Yes.
And then it becomes, it's not quite Driving Miss Daisy, but it's kind of taking care of Mr. Cripple Guy.
Yeah.
And...
working title.
French. And then they wind up forming a friendship that is more than just a working relationship. Not that kind of friendship, but a bonding, they become pals, I should say. And of course,
buds,
they
bros,
learn from each other.
Of course.
So it is very, if it doesn't have a truly moving picture stamp on it, it probably should.
It should, definitely.
So, La Truvi, moving.
Yeah.
Pixar.
Now that was a good movie.
It was really great. And it's one of those movies that, it has very American feel to it. If you're one of the people that are not a fan of the subtitles, first of all, grow up.
Yeah, grow
second
up.
Of all, watch
this
movie.
Get big boy pants.
Yes, exactly.
Even if you're a woman, get big boy pants.
Yes, but watch this movie. It's a very good crossover kind of movie. It's got some of that European kind of sensibility, but it feels very American.
Right.
Too.
I mean, you could think of Dying Young, or yeah, I mean, a number of pictures where they don't like each other at the beginning, but they have to work together. Mm-hmm. It's almost like the grizzled veteran and the rookie,
yeah,
fresh from the academy. Anyway, and great soundtrack of 70s,
oh, yeah,
soul, American 70s soul music. So
it starts off with this great thing with Earth, Wind, and Fire. Great opening
and
scene.
The police.
Yes.
Not the police.
No, not
but
that
the
police.
The French police.
Yeah. The cops.
So, yeah, the les cops.
Les coppers.
Now we sound like now we sound like the bad Pepe Le Pew, all the humans that are scared of Pepe Le Pew, they all just add lay at the beginning. So that was a good one. You yeah, saw that for the film sociology. We thank you. Mm-hmm. Now I have to say I am sorry and thank you, however, for watching the remake of Red Dawn. Wow.
Yeah. If Yeah.
Why did you do that?
Well, I had it, and I saw that it was coming, and I was like, I want to, you know, it's coming out this week. I want to, I want to be in the know.
And boy, wow. What do you know now?
Yeah. I know that they know how to make a bad movie. Yeah.
I think The Onion referred to this and Total Recall as the two most useless remakes of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And if you can get past the initial, I don't know, just complete lack of coherence or a likelihood, I guess, that North Korea would invade the United States.
Oh, so it's North Korea, because in the original, of course, Yes. It was the Russians, because Yeah. it was the 80s.
And when they first announced the remake, it was supposed to be the Chinese, but then they thought China's a very big market, and they might not like that.
Probably not. Too many business relations between China and the U.S.
Yeah, so they went to North Korea.
So Dennis Rodman is invading.
Yeah. It was an even swap. It was a handful of their soldiers for Dennis Rodman.
Well, you know, the guy still pulled some boards.
Yeah.
Not as many as he used to when he was with Dallas, but, you know.
Yeah. No, but, you know, there's that, just which is completely ludicrous, number one. Then you have to get past, you know, get to the fact, okay, all right, let's just assume that the North Koreans get there and they, you know, manage to take over this small town.
And the Huntsman takes over and forms Wolverines.
And then they become the most inept army in
like,
the history
like
of armies.
Like A-team inept?
Yeah, like...
Where they can't hit a thing?
Yeah, like we're going to have our...
bazooka to a barn door?
Yes, we're going to have our main, our big leader, our big soldier leader man, give a speech in a crowded square, but we're not going to check any of the buildings surrounding, you know, or I should say either of the buildings surrounding the square to make sure that there aren't, you know, any assassins in this place, you know, we just invaded.
Or Wolverines.
Exactly right.
Right.
Yeah, and it's just one just dumb thing after another until the
it's,
dumb things
It's what,
run
Kobe?
Where is
it? It's not ready.
No.
We have terrible.
I can just say it. It's dumb.
It's dumb.
Two times.
Wait a minute. Hey, what? Maybe, Joe, would you agree with this?
Why can't we just see them do cool stuff all the time? I'm in a movie. I have a limited amount of time. Be cool.
Okay.
But yes. Do you have Chris Hemsworth?
Hemsworth,
yeah. Sorry. And I know the other band of people who are not Patrick Swayze and C. Thomas Howell and Ray Dong Chong.
Yeah, I'm kind of a fan of his, obviously, from Thor. And, you know, he's...
Oh, I love... He's fun as Thor. He's a lunkhead.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But... is he a leader of teenagers?
He's a Marine in this film.
He comes home
to his small town, and coincidentally, right after the football game, his brother plays in. The North Koreans take over.
They invaded after the football game?
Right. They at least had the good decency to wait until the football game was over.
It was over. But no post-game snacks at Mother Bear's.
No.
That's terrible.
Man. Yeah. Also, this is Washington. I don't know that they...
Washington State or Washington?
Washington State.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cheaper. Because, probably shot in Vancouver.
Yeah, because the North Koreans wanted, as they said...
Seattle?
Surely they don't just want Seattle, but then that kind of seems to be what they really want, is just Seattle.
They want coffee. They want coffee and recording studio.
It's awful. I don't even know what else to say. It's just awful. Don't be bothered by it.
That's what it sounds like. That's very unfortunate. The, of course, trivia on the original Red Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
The first PG-13 movie.
Oh, yes, that's right.
I saw that in Long Beach Island, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And yeah, okay. So that's there. And now, of course, Joe Scherer has taken one for the team, two for the team.
Yeah.
He takes three for the team, but we're going to get to the third one.
Yeah.
But there are certain lines that even Joe Scherer would not cross. And so also out on DVD and Blu-ray this week, I did not see it. You did not see it. Mm-hmm. And I remember deliberately the week it opened in theaters, I did not want to see Playing for Keeps because it is a romantic comedy from the director of The Pursuit of Happiness and Seven Pounds. This is a film, Kobe, and gentlemen, I want you to pay attention to this very carefully, especially because my chat with Molly Sims is going to be on in just a moment. Gerard Butler is having trouble juggling between his ex-wife, played by Jessica Biel, and Catherine Zeta-Jones, Uma Thurman, and Judy Greer, who apparently are all targets of his affection.
Mm-hmm.
Rough life.
Yeah.
Boy.
He's not batting 1,000 there.
Not batting 1,000. Nope.
That's
not at all.
Irony.
Not at all. We love our wives and your fiance. That sounded weird. But, yeah, rough life for Gerard Butler. So, yeah. However, And it's why I giggle. I go through. There's a one page I go to for my new releases list, and I saw this title and immediately thought of you. And sure enough, you did actually
watch
the straight to DVD WWE production, The Marine 3 Homefront.
Yes,
starring The Miz.
Starring The Miz. Yes. Yes. If you're not,
so it's gone from John Cena. And who was in the second?
I believe it was Ted DiBiase the Jr.
I was going to say, if it had Ted DiBiase Sr., that would rule. So, and now we have The Miz in. So let me guess. He gets home, and there's bad stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's almost the same movie as Red Dawn if you take out the supporting cast. He comes home to his small town. He's a Marine.
Wasn't this Walking Tall?
You could say that.
I just did.
The remake starring The Rock.
Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah. And so... Yeah, he comes home and, hey, terrorists
have taken over a small Washington looking.
Dumb.
Actually, it was more of just a boat. They have plans to do, you know, heinous sort of sinister things. And if you want to go even further with the Walking Tall connection, Neil McDonough, who was in the remake of Walking Tall with The Rock, is also the villain in this movie.
He is not.
He absolutely is. Yep.
I like the girl,
I want to gag.
I like Neil McDonough and his piercing blue eyes and white hair, but he's got to do something else.
He's better than this.
He is better than this. But I bet he's got a better house than all four of us
exactly
put together.
Right. Yeah.
Includes you, Mason.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, you also interviewed The Miz.
I did interview The Miz. You guys may or may not know I'm a huge WWE fan. I'm taking Mason and my other two kids to Monday Night Raw next week.
I'm going to pull up my black socks and say, I remember when it was WWF, you darn kids.
Yeah, and I'm that guy now when someone who goes, oh, that's just like the WWF. I go, it's the WWE now. I wanted to interview him. I actually pushed for it. It was fun. I asked him maybe two questions about this movie, and the rest of the questions were about the WWE.
Now you had not seen the film before.
I had not seen it before. No, he was very complimentary about Neil McDonough and Ashley Bell, who plays his sister.
So those are the actors he gets to bounce off of.
Yes, yes.
Not literally.
Yeah.
We hope.
Well, not
a little bit with McDonough.
Yeah,
or some dude in a blonde wig.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, it was a lot of fun. To interview him, to talk to him.
Okay.
And I was just thinking now, the main event of WrestleMania a couple of years ago was John Cena versus The Miz with The Rock as the special enforcer.
It's the Battle of the Marines.
Yeah.
And Walking Tall.
And Walking Tall there.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny. So can you read this on the film yet? Did you put this on the film yet?
I have not.
Yours?
I just got to it last night.
Okay.
I have not had the chance. You can read the interview with The Miz on the film app right now.
Okay.
Should be on.
What else is going on at the film app?
Nick Rogers is starting a new column focusing on specific years in the 80s and some of the better films that he has certain criteria. They can't have been nominated for an Oscar, and they can't be. There's like box office considerations.
Okay.
Very interesting. You guys should get over there and check it out.
And of course, Kobe, the 1980s.
Different time.
It was a different time.
It was. Now, of course, you mentioned, because there's always one-upmanship between guest and host. You mentioned interviewing The Miz, and of course, I have this.
Hey, this is TNA Knockout Gail Kim, and you're listening to Film Sociology.
But that's not Kobe's favorite.
No.
That's Kobe's awesome. Favorite is this.
Oh, let's see.
You don't have it?
No, I don't have it.
Oh.
Hang on, I'll get it.
You got it?
Not ready.
We've got to, that's my 20. I don't do resolutions.
Wait a minute. Here we go.
Okay.
This is TNA Knockout Gail Kim, and you're listening to Film Sociology.
Oh, yeah. All right. So now that we're going down the whole rabbit hole that is Matt's interview world, yes, I just had an opportunity. I got an email from a very fine young person who. The same one that interviewed that set up the interview with Padma, and I got to talk to supermodel, actress, and now mom Molly Sims about Molly Sims stuff. Here it is.
Hey guys, I'm Molly Sims, and you're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI in Indianapolis. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Molly. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, hanging in there. Now I have to know, which number reporter am I talking to you today?
I think you're number one.
Oh, That's very good. So I will eliminate the next question. That's great. So
you can eliminate the next question. I think you're caller number one.
Fantastic. So how are things in your world?
My world is good. We just got into New York City. I partnered with Pons on their Luminous line to help women brighten up their dull skin. So I'm in the middle of writing a book called The Everyday Supermodel, which gives you tricks of the trade in my business and feeling and looking good. But and it's cold here. I don't know where you are. Actually, you're in Indianapolis. We're in New York City, and it's quite the freezing weather.
For us, it's the Midwest in early March, so it's not that big of a shock. So, what are some of the other tips that you can give as far as especially for me? Next week, I'm shaving my beard, so I need some beauty tips.
Yeah. Okay. So you want to use a Luminous line? It's really great. It has a great exfoliant, but don't over exfoliate, especially after you do your beard. Wait a couple of days because it's new skin. It's like baby skin. But it's great when you shave because that's also something that makes you kind of look bright. Ben Affleck just did it. He shaved that beard off. So make sure you cleanse. Make sure you moisturize. Do you take a lot of pictures?
Yes, I do. I'm on Facebook and on WFYI.org.
Okay, so tip that camera down. Tip it up and tip it down. Makes you look about 2 to 3 pounds thinner.
Okay.
And if you can learn to retouch and filter yourself in your photos, you'll be fantastic.
And take about 15 to 30 pounds off. But that's fine. That's a good start.
Do you juice, Matthew?
I juice, but not as regimental as I probably should.
You got to do it every day. And I'm not talking orange juice and pineapple
right.
juice and blueberries. I'm talking kale and spinach and parsley and carrot and apple. See, I'm telling you, it helps you. It starts your day off. If you can have coffee, you can still have your coffee. I'm not going to make you do hot water and lemon, but you got to get your green juice in sometime during the day.
If I call you Mrs. Sosie, don't be offended to that. This sounds just like my lovely wife.
You can call me Mrs. Sosie. It's fine. I am a nagging wife to my husband. Well, I'm called to Mrs. Stuber. Yeah.
And how is your son doing?
He's awesome. He's so fun. He just started crawling. We put him on grass yesterday, and it was interesting. I don't know. The same way I thought he would know how to eat a Cheerio, but he couldn't get it into his mouth, but we're working on it.
Well, good.
For 8 months.
Excellent. Congratulations.
But you and your viewers can go to Pons on Facebook. We're doing a 30-day Luminous photo challenge
mm-hmm.
where all the girls can sit in luminous pictures of themselves and win great prizes and awards, so make sure and do that. You can get more tips, Matthew.
Okay. And what is the latest on MollySims.com?
MollySims.com? MollySims.com is more of, it's my blog. It's a lifestyle blog. We cover everything from health to fitness to what I'm doing. I'm co-hosting with Anderson Cooper this Thursday. So it's kind of a day-to-day thing of what I'm interested in, whether it be, food or health or fitness or girlfriend problems or husband problems. It's a good site.
And guys, there's this thing in between the pictures. They're called words. Check them out on the page.
Exactly.
So I have a film show, so I'm wondering, what movies have you watched recently?
Well, I'm going to plug my husband a little bit. He just produced this movie called Identity Thief. And we were number one 2 weeks ago and number one last week. So it's a really good movie. It's with Jason Bateman and Melissa McCarthy. It's a fun, it's raunchy, but it's fun.
Good raunchy fun. There's nothing wrong with that.
I like it.
Yeah, I saw the pictures on the red carpet. Congratulations.
Thank
it's been
you.
a lot of great buzz about the film.
And also Silver Linings Playbook, which I know we just had the Oscars and it didn't win for Best Picture, but it's a phenomenal, phenomenal movie. Bradley Cooper is amazing and Jennifer Lawrence. I probably Argo and Silver Linings Playbook were my two favorite last year.
Excellent. So have you planned what the first film for your son will be?
I have not.
Starsky and Hutch.
Starsky and Hutch. He was in a little video of himself trying to touch grass yesterday, so that's his first little video.
Well, you should do the DVD commentary for that.
I know, right? He's about to touch it. Wait. Oh. Hey, guys, I'm Molly Sims, and you're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI in Indianapolis.
Wife.
Call me Mrs. Sosie.
Could you play that again? I can't believe she said that, really.
Hey, guys, I'm Molly Sims, and you're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI in Indianapolis.
Wife.
Me, Mrs. Sosie.
Yep. I probably should have stopped speaking if I knew she was going to say that, but there you go. She did. So there you go.
You have that forever.
I have that forever. I have that, and I have Robert Irvine imitating Gale. I love this show. These are the little things. Of course, film sociology, we lead the league in show IDs.
Yes, we do.
All right. A couple other older titles if you want to check out on DVD
we
and Blu-ray.
We
lead the league. That's right. Schindler's List. 20-year anniversary of Schindler's List, so don't watch Schindler's List and Amour in the same night.
Oh, no.
No, that's a long night.
Yeah.
Great film. That's a long night. And Westworld with Yul Brynner, Richard Chamberlain, James Brolin. Sorry.
Not Josh.
Not Josh. Too busy doing other things. Yeah. But anyway, those are out as well. Now, I asked last week, and we will have her on the show again, Fair Sweet Bianca, the Twilight correspondent. Mm-hmm. She's packing up the Twilight office of Film Sociology Productions.
Yeah.
But, of course, we're still waiting to hear what she thought about Twilight sweeping the Razzies this year. However, there's also news that the film Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2, which came out on Blu-ray March 2nd, which means it's in Kobe's house March 2nd.
Yes, it is.
Got snubbed at the MTV Movie Awards. Shocked and aghast. Yeah. Clutch the pearls.
Could we have put a bet on that in Vegas? I wonder.
Probably could have.
Because I'm thinking 6 nominations easy for the MTV Movie Awards.
And no, it's not even not Movie of the Year, not Best Male Performance, not Best Female Performance. It's not Best Scared Is Bleep Performance, which you can't say. Breakthrough Performance, no. Mm-hmm. On-screen Duo, no. Mm-hmm. Shirtless Performance, well, yeah, Taylor Lautner. You know what he was? He took off his Clemente jersey.
That's so stupid.
That's a different movie.
That's from the film Abduction, which the only thing it's known for, besides the fact that Alfred Molina and Sigourney Weaver took a big paycheck and it was directed by John Singleton, but Taylor Lautner wears a Roberto Clemente throwback jersey. And
it'd be
it
like
drives...
me wearing a Roger Brown jersey or a slick Leonard.
Hey, you could watch the Roger Brown story on WFYI television.
I saw it.
Yeah. Great work. And?
Cool.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
We made a good documentary here at WFYI.
That's right.
So, not even Best Kiss. So, not Best WTF moment.
Well,
that's really a category.
Well, they dropped the creepiest romance.
Oh, great.
Award best for this year.
That was an actual category?
I think so. I think they created that.
I don't
want
to pay attention to the. And the only reason why I did this, of course, was to needle Fair Sweet Bianca.
Needle.
She's a good sport. But yeah, apparently even the MTV Movie Awards have turned 16 and have moved on from Twilight. So
I thought the MTV Movie Awards were perpetually 16.
Okay, fine. They were 18.
They turned 18.
You know what? This is where they switch. We talked about this in dorm rooms, where you take down the Taylor Swift poster and you replace it with either Sarah McLachlan or Joni Mitchell.
Oh, yeah.
You're more mature singer-songwriter material.
Sure.
So,
you still have the pictures of Paris and whatnot.
Yeah. And then
and the shag rug.
Shag rug and the poster of...
Quote by a writer.
Or a world leader. Yep. A world peace leader.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, or the Notebook. Mm-hmm. Poster of the Notebook. That's always fun. And
I had Jenny McCarthy on one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And but then again, you actually believe in doctors, right? And medication.
Yeah. She had not.
Oh, this was pre-child. This was in her singled out days.
Yes, it was.
Singled out, Playboy, before she knew how to spell autism,
let alone
know what it means.
That's the second singled out reference on this show.
Yeah, we got to stop that.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have time to go into the archives?
Oh, we got like 2 minutes.
It was a good show, really.
What singled out or this?
Well, this is always a good show.
This is always a good show. No, this is a great... Ladies and gentlemen, we had a great show for you tonight. Yep. The Robert Cray Band is here. Stick around. We'll be right back anytime we can make it sound like SNL. All right, we'll go into the archives next week. But Joe, just a reminder, filmyap.com.
Uh-huh. Thefilmyap.com.
The Film Yap.
Absolutely.
Like the Film Yap University.
Yes. Yeah.
So what's going on at the Yap?
Same old, man. The greatest movie coverage in the world. Outside of the Film Sociology University.
Right, because, our celestial whatever. Oh, man.
Our universes overlap, but they don't.
Right, enough to make it look like a MasterCard logo.
Yes.
No, is there... you just, so
they overlap, but they don't necessarily co-mingle?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
What the hell are you talking about?
It's not physics here. Come on.
This isn't physics, sociology, or various chicanery. Oh my gosh, that's it. That's it. I think. Well, and then there's a series coming up about the 80s.
Yeah. Check that out. Nick Rogers is doing that, and he is outstanding as always.
Yes, he is.
He finished up his Bond series a while back.
Boy, that's a lot. That's a lot of Bond.
And
so.
It was awesome. And every he went back and watched every single movie, and it is as in depth as you can get. It's
there
like the go. Only the only thing more in depth is if you go back and watch all the DVD Blu-ray extras of every film
ever.
Nick's coverage is still better.
There you go. All right, words to live by.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Thanks, Joe and Mason Shearer. Thanks, Kobe Slagle. Thanks, Bountiful. At Scottish Rite Cathedral tonight, tomorrow night at 7:30 with a 3 p.m. matinee tomorrow afternoon. Go see a good movie and bring us some mother bears. We deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
We gone. Good night, Fort Myers.
Bring us some mother bears.